organization. The kitchen has to be organized. You have to understand timing. You have to understand that you have to be dedicated to what you're doing, and you have to have the ability to do the job. I want you to know today that God has a plan and a purpose. That everything in the Bible, God had a plan and a purpose. Everything that occurred in the Bible and everything that is going to occur in your life today that is covered in the Bible was ordained and planned by God. There is no surprises. There is nothing that God does not know. I don't read anywhere in the Bible where God said, oops, that happened. God knows everything, and ultimately it is good because it is God's plan. The universe is not a car without a driver, nor is it a driver without a map. Everything is done for a purpose, and everything has a reason. The Bible often speaks of this plan of God. God has always done everything for a purpose. So it was with the nation of Israel. God planned out everything in advance and for a purpose. He thought it out. He planned out every detail down to the very unique part of that plan. God planned it and carried it out with a purpose. It is an absolute purpose, not just a wish or a thought. It is planned out with purpose. And in theology, it is called a decree. You often hear, God has decreed his purpose, and it shall happen. Now, to me, some of the most fascinating chapters found in the Word of God are found in Nehemiah, chapters 1 through 7. Let's review that story for a moment. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter and the 5th verse, Moses told the Israelites to seek out a place where the Lord your God chooses, out of all of your tribes, to put his name on that dwelling place. And as you know, later that place was revealed to be Jerusalem. Now, when Solomon built the temple, Jerusalem was at its height of glory. Its fame and power were known throughout the world. And God's name was spread throughout the nations. Now, keep in mind that the scriptures are quite clear that among all the nations in the world, God chose Israel as the one that he would work with. This was the nation that God delivered out of slavery in Egypt. The nation to whom God gave the land of Canaan, the promised land. And the nation through whom Jesus Christ himself was to be born. Now that often raises a question. Was there something special about these people unlike others? Why did God choose Israel? The reason is because God is a promise keeping God. Now that's another whole message within itself that I don't have time to go into. But Israel was chosen because God is a promise keeping God. Now, in spite of all of that, God allowed Jerusalem to be destroyed because of the unfaithfulness of the Israelites. Because of the unfaithfulness of the people, their kingdom was destroyed. Their tribes were divided and separated, and the kingdom, the walls were torn down, and it was destroyed because of their disobedience toward God. The once thriving city was in shambles. The walls of the city were torn down. Now, there was a man named Nehemiah who was the cupbearer of the king of Persia. The cupbearer's job was a very important job in the ancient world. His job was to drink or eat the food before the king got it to make sure that it wasn't poison. Now, if the food was poison, then there was an immediate job opening in the palace. Now, when he heard that that the walls had been destroyed, something happened inside of him, and he knew something had to be done. He realized that there was work to be done. He knew that it was not God's ultimate plan that Jerusalem be in ruins. And I want to pause here today to tell you, Grace Community Church, that it is our obligation or our job, our work as a church is to build the walls, to rebuild the walls, to rebuild people. Not walls of brick and mortar, but people who need to hear about the word of God. People who need to know the love of Jesus Christ. Our mission, our purpose is to know him and to make him known. That's the walls that we are to build today. And it is the job, the work that we have to be prepared to do. Nehemiah went to the king and got permission from the king to rebuild the walls. God placed Nehemiah in a position to do the job. And I want you to know today, you are placed in a position today to do a job. You are here for a reason. As I said, you're not here by accident. There is no oops with God. Even to the fact that you're sitting where you're sitting today, this time, this hour, this day was predestined by God. He knew it. He's not surprised that Mike is sitting on the front bench or Pastor Bill is sitting here. God knew it. And there's a reason for everything and a purpose for everything under the heavens. Amen. And your purpose and your job is not just to sit there on the benches, on the chairs and look real nice like you look today. But we have a purpose. We have a goal. We have a job. The Bible says that we are the light of the world. And it is our job to be a beacon light to this community. It is our job to build the walls that are falling down in Lathrop and Manteca and surrounding cities. We ought to be the light, the salt of the earth. We have a job to do. We have work to do. The broken lives that we can touch. The people that we can reach. They're real people with real needs. And they need a real Savior. And we are the people that bring that Savior. We are the people that build those broken down walls. In order to be prepared to work, you have to select the right tools to do the job. Even when I worked in the restaurant business, when I cooked, I had to have the right tools. Amen. When I carved, you have to have a carving knife. Now, a boning knife won't give you a good carve. Nor would a carving knife allow you to bone out a roast. Amen? So it is with the job that we're doing for God. We have to have the right tools. And we'll talk about that in a second. So here, I want to talk about five of the tools that Nehemiah had in order to build the walls. The first tool that Nehemiah had was vision. Now, when the Bible talks about vision, it means something higher than what we can reach ourselves. Vision is a God thing. It has to do with finding out what God is up to in our world and then joining him in doing what he's up to. What thus saith the Lord? What's in the word of God? When we realize what's in the word of God, and then we apply ourselves to what God has put in his word, then we are doing the job of God. Then we realize that we're not here just to be here. That's an accident. We happen to show up. We're here because we're here to build the walls. We're here because we are to do and be about God's business. Vision. You should know that God does not always speak to you about where you are in his word, but he also speaks to you about where you're going. Where you're going is sometimes more important than where you are. And I tell you, I see Grace Community Church in the future, and you look much better than you look right now. Because the word of God is true and it's real, and there is a plan and a purpose, and there's a job to do. There's walls to be built. Let's look at Nehemiah, at his vision here in Nehemiah 2 and 17. It says, "Then I said to them, you see the trouble that we're in? Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burnt with fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." What Nehemiah was saying, look here, guys, we got a problem here. Our city is ruined. Our security is ruined. The walls are down. I wish I had time to talk about the importance of walls around a city in biblical time. Having no walls was like having no police force. It was like having no fire department. The walls were the security. It spoke to the power of that city. The walls spoke to the power. It was the security of that city. It was so important that the walls be strong and be up. So he said, guys, we got a problem here. The city is in ruins. The gates are down. The walls are down. Let us rebuild so we can be back to where we was. He saw that in a vision in his heart. Not with his natural eyes, but with his heart. Now, when he heard that the walls were down, he cried and he went to God in prayer and in fasting and asked God to let him do the job. When opposition came, he was able to look back to God as a source of his vision. When people plotted against him to stop the work, Nehemiah reminded the people that we have God on our side and we can do the job. We can keep working for God because with God is against us, he's more than the world against us. And he kept working and believing in God. Second of all, the second tool that he had was commitment. Nehemiah identified with the vision. He looked for the opportunity to put the plan into effect. He became a man of action. Nehemiah was a normal, everyday man, an average guy who lived and had a good job. But he was willing to let go of that plus job in order to do what God had said, left the palace to go rebuild the walls of Israel. He had a radical faith, a courageous soul. He lays out his work plan. He put his plan together, and prayer and fasting came before he went and did the job. We ought to learn something from that the Bible tells us in all our ways acknowledge him. And he will direct our path. The Bible tells us to always pray and not faint. Nehemiah had the profound ability to adopt and be both a political and spiritual leader. His heart became broken for the people of God and the things of God. And he was prepared to commit to the vision, even if it meant giving up his job in the king's palace. He was willing to commit to what thus said the Lord. I want you to know that vision alone is not enough. It must be accomplished by commitment. Now, prayer is one of the overwhelming themes of this book, of the book of Nehemiah, and the secret to Nehemiah's success. Let's look at the prayers in this book. The prayer in chapter 1 is the first of 12 different prayers recorded in the book. It begins with prayer in Persia and closes with prayer in Jerusalem. His prayers are filled with adoration in chapters 8 and 9. Thanksgiving in chapter 12. Confession in chapters 1 and 9. And supplication in chapters 1 and 2. You'll find prayers of anguish, prayers of joy, prayers of protection, prayers of dependence, and prayers of commitment. It is a story of compassionate, persistent, personal, and corporate prayer. Prayer gave Nehemiah perspective, and it widened his horizons. It sharpened his vision, and it eased his anxieties. That is what prayer did. And I tell you today, Grace Community Church, we have a job to do. And if we're going to do it, it ought to be in prayer that we start. That is the preparation of the job to seek God and seek direction from God through his word. I tell you, God will plant a seed inside of you that will grow into holy commitment, a desire to work toward rebuilding torn down walls. If you let God have your whole heart, he will prepare you for work. Like Nehemiah, you will see yourself doing things that you would never have imagined, because it is not you, it is a Christ inside of you. The third thing, the third tool that Nehemiah used was he got a team together. He didn't try to do the job by himself. He drew a team together of like-minded people. It was no small task. Nehemiah could not have done it all by himself. He got a fellowship of people. And I heard a preacher say one time that fellowship means a whole lot of fellas on the same ship. Like-minded, they got together and worked as a team. You know, I was driving the other day, and I pulled on the side of the road and sat in my car. And as I sat there, I saw a large group of blackbirds. Little blackbirds, thousands of them. And as I watched them in flight. And while looking at them, I noticed that these thousands and thousands of birds flew together in unison. They all made a left turn together, thousands of birds, nobody out of place, no bird out of place. They made right turns together. They dipped, they rayed, they rose all together on one accord. And I began to think in my mind, what if the church of God would be like those birds? Not grace, not this, but if all of God's people would just get together and get on one accord and get the same mind to reach people for God. What an awesome impact we can have in our communities, in our cities, if we all got together on one accord. If we got a team together to build the walls. Psalms 133 and 1 says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity." There's something about working together. There's something about a team. He was able, when building the walls, Nehemiah was able to motivate the people. And he got people from all walks of life. The Bible tells us that he gathered goldsmiths and perfume goldsmiths and perfume makers, rulers, priests, merchants, different talents. He brought together to build the wall, all ages, male, female. God not only used Nehemiah, but several ordinary, everyday people came together with a common goal. And I want you to think for a moment. What talents, what abilities do I have that I can use for the kingdom of God? What can I do? And I stop by to tell you that every one of you sitting here today, you have a talent. You have an ability that can be used in the upkeep and the move of God. Regardless of how minute you might think you are, you may think I can't do anything. I often say, and I joke about it sometimes, I cannot sing. My wife would tell you, you know, some people can sing in the shower. I can't even do that. But what I will tell you, my Bible tells me to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And regardless of how tone deaf I am, and regardless of how I don't know a G flat from an A minus. Is that a note? But when I get in my secret place and I begin to worship God and I begin to sing to him, I am so glad that my voice sounds so beautiful to God. I am so glad that the aroma of my praise is sweet to his nostrils, regardless of how off I am. And I want you to know the same for you. You have a talent. You have a gift. You have something that you can offer to God. Oh, y'all are just clapping, say amen or something. I thought about a story that I once heard about a man who was driving in a bad storm. And the story says that at some point, the man's car went into a ditch. And he was unable to get the car out, so he walked to the nearest farm, knocked on the door, and the farmer answered the door, and he said, "Can you help me? My car is in a ditch, and I can't get it out." And the man said, "Yes, I'll help you." So he went and got his old mule out the barn, old mule named Myrtle. Now, Myrtle was a blind old mule. Myrtle's back was swayed and couldn't hardly walk. But he brought Myrtle and hooked Myrtle up to the car. And once he got Myrtle hooked to the car, he hit his whip and said, "Pull, Bob, pull." And Myrtle just stood there and didn't do anything. The farmer cracked his whip again and said, "Pull, Rover, pull." Myrtle just sat there and didn't move. Finally, the farmer said, "Myrtle, pull." And Myrtle pulled the car out of the ditch. And the man was confused. He looked at the farm and said, I don't understand that. There's no other mule here other than Myrtle. But I heard you call other names." And the farmer looked at the man and said, "Yes, this is why." He said, "Myrtle is an old mule. Myrtle is blind and not full of confidence. So I figured if I made her think that she had some help, it would motivate her to do the job." I stopped by to tell you today, you're not alone. You have some help. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how disabled, how you feel you don't have a talent. You have help to build the walls. God is your refuge. He's your help. And you have your brothers and sisters. If we can just get together and build the walls together, if we can just get together and be about the business of God. Let me move on. The fourth thing that tool that Nehemiah had was timing. Timing was important in building the wall. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that it was done in record time. He rebuilt the wall in record time. Now, he did not try to build the walls the same side that King Solomon had built the walls, but he built the walls in a timely manner where he could finish the job. And what I got out of that, Pastor Bill, I didn't say it in the first service, but what I got out of that, hey man, I got to do what my ability allows me. I can't predicate what I do for God based on what you can do. You might be able to sing. My wife is a beautiful singer. I'd love to hear her sing, but I can't, as I said, sing. But the little bit I have, the little bit you have is of use to God. He didn't build the walls the way King Solomon did, but he built them to his talent, to what he had time to do. Timing was important. As a matter of fact, he had to build the walls in order to get it done before opposition. The enemy didn't even have time to organize to come against him because of timing. The fifth thing is resources. He had to have the resources to build the walls. And the resources was that, first of all, he had to go to his boss and ask for vacation. And then after getting vacation, he asked him for a letter. I need a letter, first of all, that I can safely go and do the job. Second of all, there's materials that I need. And I need a letter so I can go and present this letter and get the materials that I need. In closing, Grace, I come to tell you today you have a letter. It's written between Genesis and Revelation. You have a letter. You have a map. You have a road map. You have permission. You have directive. Everything you need is in the Word of God. It is our letter. It is our authorization to do the things of God. And when we come together and follow what thus said the Lord, what God has commanded us to do, and what God has provided for us to do, then we can rebuild the walls. Then we can be the beacon light in the community. Then we can do what God says. Amen. Preparation, readiness to build the walls. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you today because you have allowed us the opportunity, Lord, to hear what thus said the Lord and to know that what your purpose is in our lives. We ask you to bless us today as we go. Lord, let us not just be hearers of the word, but help us that we might be doers of the word. Bless us. Let the sweet spirit of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Don. Great word. Just, man, we need to be reminded that the word is the living and breathing, and that is the handbook of life. And appreciate your word, Don. I want to thank you guys for being here. Want to just remind you guys that we do have offering boxes in the back and up front. Thank you guys for your faithfulness and your giving. We do have year-end envelopes in the back that you can get from your giving statement so that for your tax purposes, they're in the back there. I encourage you to go back and take those. If you're a first-time visitor, guest, we have a plant back there. We'd love to have you take it home, water it, remember us, pray for us as a church. Also, if something Don has said, or maybe there's nothing that he said, but you just want to be able to pray with somebody, you got Frank and Denise up here that would love to be able to pray with you. I want to encourage you guys, Monday nights, 5:30 to 6:30, come out, pray with us as men, pray with us for the church, for just the different desires and demands. I tell you, that story I told you at the beginning is for me, is the true answer of that God does answer prayer. So I just encourage you to do that. Thank you guys for being here again. Just go out and have a great week this week. Thanks. My love to you, Jesus.
just the way we're made to worship you. Freedom, freedom in this place, freedom in this place.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord. Your rich in love and Your and draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and